So, you want to be a contractor. Ever wonder what it takes to become a contractor? The journey they go on to get where they are now, or the crazy things they see and hear on the job site. Well, you're in the right spot. Welcome to So You Want to Be a Contractor, the podcast. Join your host, Mike Fisher, as he talks to owners of construction companies from all over about how they got started, how they run their business, and some of the craziest stories they've experienced on their job sites. And now, your host, Mike Fisher.
Welcome to So You Want to Be a Contractor. This is episode number 28. My name is Mike Fisher. Guest today, Clayton Rodriguez, CEO of Zotex Flooring. How you doing, Clayton?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us. This is actually round two with Clayton. For those of you that watched the original podcast way back in the day, he was on, it was probably about a year and a half ago now, right? 2 years ago almost?
Yeah, it's been that. It's been about 2 years
ago. So excited to kind of hear some updates here and see how you guys are doing. And I've been following you on social media and stuff, so it looks like you guys are doing okay. And kind of excited, but before we get into that, let's hear your story. Let's let everybody know kind of what the history of Clayton is in this industry and how you got to where you are now.
So I came to this country in 2004 to the US in 2004 from Brazil. This was one of my first jobs out here as I came in. So I started flooring. I did other stuff before, but then flooring was what I did for a while. Then I left flooring. I went to school and went to work for Apple as well. And during school, I did a little bit of Apple. I did a little bit of car selling from my apartment building. It was pretty interesting to do that. But then from that point on, I came back into the business. My dad was still in it. And really the reason why I came back was because of him. I wanted to get him out of his, knees and really help, or just at least get him out of that. It took a little bit of time, but he finally did. So when I left what I was doing to come here, really the idea was nothing other than to just, get my dad out of his knees and somewhat, build a living here. I never really thought on the growth that we're experiencing, and I really thought on wanting to get big. It was, again, primarily just this thought of like, okay, what can I do here to change things around for my dad? But then it changed, right? So then things kind of changed and here we are. It's been a while, but it's been a good journey. I think I've learned a lot. Keep learning, I guess, every day, but I've learned a lot throughout this process.
So kind of going back to, obviously, that thought process of, hey, I need to get my dad off his knees and, into a more comfortable life, in at his age. And so that was the reason for getting in and kind of helping him there. But what was that turning point to say when you decided, hey, we're not just going to continue as is, like we're going to make this a little bit bigger, a little bit better and push a little bit harder on some stuff. Was there something specific that created that change?
So what happened, I think that in 2015, I set up the business as is. And back then it was primarily set up to be able to, just search people in general, just do a little flooring jobs here and there. I was trying to, wear all hats. I was installing, I was selling, I was, doing all that I could to be able to make sure the business was working. And then I realized that I couldn't do that. It's impossible to do it all and do it all well. So I decided to start hiring people. And that was a stretch for me because I really never thought that I was going to be employing anybody. I never really thought that was a concept for me. I didn't have a whole lot of experience in it. So I started hiring to get people in on board to be able to help. Kind of freaked out a little bit too, because now I had somebody answering the phone for me. Whereas before I knew I answer the phone 10 o'clock at night. Don't matter. You call me, right. I'm answering. And now I have hours, right? So now I'm limited to the amount of time that I can answer the phone. And that kind of just played something in my mind a little bit. But then after that was
like, how can they save a sale like I can, right? Can they, you know what I mean? Like, are they going to say something to ruin it, or, you know, are they going to not know something, or not hear a trigger word to be able to like play on something? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff is scary as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's that along with the fact that I had to let people sell for me. So right. On top of people answering the phone, now I had someone selling for me. And that was another big thing for me, because I'm like, hey, man, what am I doing here? You know, what if this guy loses a sale? What if he says the wrong thing? What if he promises the wrong thing? All of these things are going through my mind as I keep seeing the need of expanding, because I can't do it all by myself. The calls are coming in. So I think that at first, to answer your question, at first it was more so on the volume that was coming in to me. I've been very disciplined especially in the very beginning, to post. You know, I had an alarm on my phone that said out of time to post. So whatever I was doing, I stopped. And three times a day I posted on Craigslist. So back then, if you know, you wouldn't be able to browse through Craigslist for any home improvement or flooring without seeing me. It was impossible. Impossible. I was on that thing all day. So the volume grew. People wanted to work with me. People wanted to work with the business. So I had to hire people. So receptionist first, then sales guy, and then another sales guy. And then from that point on, I just realized, okay, we need to be able to have like people to install as well. So it was the logistics kind of started working in my head a little bit more.
Yeah.
But again, the demand, right? Like that we need it today. So we started realizing we need it today. That's what we do, so on and so forth. So it wasn't until 2017 or 2018 that I realized I had to hire a couple more people. And these people that came on board, you know, but two of them that are mine is Amir and Oscar that came on board, kept on saying, you know, we ought to be in this side of town. And I don't think I was ready. I don't think I can be on another side of town, and not be physically there all day looking
right,
at stuff.
Right.
And they said, well, this is what we need to grow, and the business is growing. We should do it. And I mulled that over my head for probably about a year. And then more than a year, because 2018 to 2020 is when I was opening my first showroom outside of where I'm at today.
And I think that was about when we talked to you the first time, was shortly after you just opened that store. And I think you were even talking about maybe doing another one pretty shortly thereafter.
Yeah. Well, so the thing about it is that there's a bug, right? Like once you catch the bug, it gets a little weird and hard to get rid of it. So once we opened up that one, it was funny because that one got open right when the pandemic hit. Yep. Right when it hit. You know, we opened March 15th, or we're trying to open March 15th. The lockdown happened on March 20th. We couldn't open. And I had to send everybody home and blah, blah, blah. So I was working out of Sacramento. I was working out of Roseville, Rockland. You know, both me and Oscar working out of those two places. Carlos as well, Chris. So we did a lot of that. And then people started coming back. And then that's when you just said, you know, I thought, okay, we need to open up another one. So we went over to Vacaville. We opened up Vacaville. And then that's when I realized I need to be able to have people in place that I trust to be able to manage these places, or else it's just not going to work out. So manager there, then we opened up another one in Elk Grove. Then we opened up another one in Roseville. Then we've got another one opening up in Marietta, Ranch Marietta. And then there's more stuff coming.
That's awesome.
It's just all over the place.
Yeah. So go back to the beginning, right? I mean, we talked about how scary it is to have somebody else doing some of those at the time, very vital jobs, right? Now they're not that vital, right? Obviously, sales are important, reception is important, but when you build a brand, they're not as important as when you're just getting started, where every phone call you need to sell and do right by that, yep. that customer, right? So go back to that spot and obviously how it's transitioned and what it looks like now from a training standpoint, right? I mean, I would imagine there was a lot of one-on-one time with you and those people in the beginning to make sure that they understand, you know, your philosophy, your way of doing business, your expectations, you know, to make sure that you guys can continue, that it's, you know, you don't lose a lot when you're transferring that responsibility over to someone.
Yeah. So, one thing that I feel like I got very lucky is that, I get to work with my friends, right? The majority of the people that joined me in the very beginning, were people that I knew from, you know, but I used to dance salsa a lot back in the day. So I met my wife too. So
that's awesome.
So back then I had friends that, you know, I was able to convince to come work here, and they came. So it was easier. It was an interesting transition, to, you know, go from friendship into an employee relationship. But I think it was really what made this work out. There was a lot of trust going on, and I really, you know, and like I do for every single employee that we have, but I really wanted to see them doing really, really well. So my goal was always to make sure that they understood what we were after. We're after taking care of the customer first and foremost. Sales would come secondary to it, because people would generally see and feel that we want to work with them, that we want to help.
Right.
So I kind of instilled that in them, and I made sure that they understood. I made sure that they understood how the sense of urgency of closing a sale, of responding to a customer. Don't take 2, 3, 4, 5 days to answer. You answer within 10 minutes or we lose that sale. Yeah. You know, we got to keep it hot. So I kept that on their mind constantly. And I did do, like you said, I did do a lot of one-on-ones with people up until probably 3 years ago, when I was just constantly on. I think my staff back then was about 20 to 25 people. And I was still doing one-on-ones with everybody, just really going, you know, talking to them, just really pouring on what I thought was important for this business. Once I realized that we overgrew that, we're now at about 55 to 60 people. It was really hard to do all that, right? To be able to do all these one-on-ones and stuff like that. So the people that I started with me are the people that are now heading a training division, or they're managing these stores, and they have the same philosophy. And we meet every week on Mondays to go over stuff. We meet and we talk, and we continue to connect so we don't lose, you know, like you said, the philosophy kind of gets lost, but I do the best I can to not do that. And that's why we meet every week.
Well, I think going back to the very beginning where you said you were hiring friends, right? I think more than friends, they're people you can trust, right? I mean, that's I think a huge key point there, right? Is, you know, when you start to grow, you, like you said, you need people, not only that you know, but that you can trust to, and who have an understanding of who you are as a human, right? Like, you can hire the best person off the street. They could literally have all the qualifications and be the best person for the job that anyone has ever seen. But at the end of the day, they don't know you, right? They don't know you personally, or they will eventually, but when they walk in the door, they don't know you. These people that you hired, they know you, right? They know you to the core. They know who you are, what you stand for. And a lot of that goes into your business as well, right? I mean, you're the same person you are outside as you are inside, I would assume, right? Because you really can't be successful if you aren't. But yeah, so I think going back to that, and for people listening, I think it's, even if you can't employ those people long term, which it sounds like you have, and that's awesome. It sounds like you've created, you know, a great place for them to be and you know, giving them an opportunity to grow, and obviously they have more responsibility now. But even if you can't hire them long term, like, bringing in those people you trust at the very beginning to at least get you started, when you don't really have a lot of employees, I think is a huge benefit for sure.
Yeah, I think one thing that I learned throughout this process is the foundation. Having a good foundation is key. To have people that you trust that to at least help build this thing up is very important. And the thing about it too is that it becomes this compounding effect. So these people that you trust that are helping you, that are building this thing with you, eventually refer other people that they trust.
Yep.
Right. So now, you know, you get the secondary person that they trust, that you end up trusting that person, so on and so forth. So this kind of grows and grows and grows. So your foundation gets pretty strong because people know you personally, they care about you personally, they want to see you doing well personally. And then it's reciprocated because I want the same for them. So now we have this good blanket of a foundation that people feel like, okay, good. And like, at least for me and for them, it's like, we're good and we understand each other. We do the best we can to maintain it and grow and push and do whatever is needed to be able to make sure that our lives are not affected. But then from that standpoint, when you start hiring people that you don't know, people that will buy into the philosophy of what this is now versus what it was before, now they come in, they have to join this foundation or else it just doesn't work. So people that come and go, it's just because it just didn't work. For them, it would be very difficult to try and fit in because it's just not the culture for them. It's not, you know, what we have here going on now is we have a lot of hustle, a lot of grit, a lot of rush, a lot of sense of urgency, a lot of push, like these posters that are right behind me here. This is what I live by all the time. Yep. And I keep telling them, you know, success is never owned. It's only rented, and rent is due every day. So every single day, you got to come on and you got to ask yourself, where's my money? Who's got my money? What's going on? How can I serve this customer? So all of that is what we preach and live by every day. But that foundation is what holds this thing together. Without it, we could
have. Yeah, and go back to your point. I mean, if your foundation and your culture are strong, they're going to kind of take care of people themselves, right? Like, you're not going to have to be on top of, hey, is this person doing their job? Or, hey, is this person right for this position? Because, again, if your culture and your foundation are strong enough, they'll kind of take care of that themselves, right? Those people will be left behind on their own. They'll see the writing on the wall. They'll, you know what I mean? And then vice versa, those people that want to hustle in your philosophy and your culture, well, they'll step right in and get going and be ready to be part of the team for sure. So from a marketing standpoint, obviously you started on Craigslist, but I can't imagine you guys are, you know what I mean? Still doing that. What do you guys, I would hope you're not still posting three times a day on Craigslist, right? But that's probably a different clientele than back in the day too, right? I mean, we'll just say a different type of clientele, right? The one that you're getting off of Craigslist, but what are you guys doing now that's successful?
Well, things have definitely changed. We're not posting. We still do some posting, but we're not posting. It definitely isn't where the source of leads come. What we have now is we got into, it's like any business, you have to start going into, you know, radio, TV, you have to go into, you know, social media, you got to rely a lot on that and that huge megaphone that, you know, people listen to constantly. So that's primarily what we do. I really never thought I'd have like a director of social media,
right?
To me, that thought was ludicrous back then. It's like, really? Like somewhere to post and but that's the truth. It's like, it's what you need now to be in business today. If you don't have it, it's going to be very hard for you to succeed because you don't have a voice.
Yep.
You got to
especially
have
in the residential space like you guys are. Yeah. I mean, those homeowners and people that have homes and looking to do that kind of stuff around social media every day.
So that's one thing in terms of marketing is that I had to learn was that investment in marketing, if you don't do it, it become irrelevant. You have to stay relevant. Becoming irrelevant is not an option if you want to grow. If you want to extend to, you know, what we're doing now, it's impossible to do it without, you know, taking the time to invest in marketing, understanding where you need to be, you know, grabbing the megaphone and just constantly pounding the pavement and letting people know, I'm here. Yes, I'm doing this. Yes, I'm doing that. So that changed a lot. One thing that also changed for me was inventory. So learning about things differently of what the final consumer wants. So coming into somebody's home to change their floors was one thing, but then we always got the question of, oh, do you guys do window coverings? Do you guys do cabinets? Do you guys do countertops, kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels? And in my mind, we always said no, because really it wasn't right. What we did. So in about 2 years ago, we had a half 2 years ago, I made a decision to after, you know, just seeing this many questions, we made a decision to go into that market. So we're now a fully licensed general contractor that goes into people's homes and does kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels. We do roofs. We do window coverings. We do flooring. We do all of the above. So when people come in and shop with us, they're not necessarily just shopping flooring. That still remains the core of our business, but it's really not all that we do. There's a lot.
So curious from a labor standpoint, I think originally you guys were kind of in a unique position where you had, you know, a showroom and you were the supplier for the flooring, but you also installed it as well. Right. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are set up one or the other, one that just does the installation and you either got to go buy the flooring from a showroom or figure it out, or, you know, there's the showrooms, but you know, you got to buy it and they don't have people to install it necessarily. You guys were a little bit different in that aspect that you had all the manpower to install as well. Is that how I understand it? You guys were doing a lot of that back in the day. So transitioning into the, you know, the more complete remodel, business structure, are you guys still employing those labor, jobs or those different classes of labor, or do you guys sub out some of that stuff? When it comes to the cabinets and the roofing and all that other stuff.
Yeah. So we have the dynamic had to change, obviously, with everything, you know, going on in terms of pandemic, labor being hard to find and so on and so forth. We ended up getting into the sub out market, a little bit more for liability reasons too. You know, having an extra layer of insurance to be able to protect us and protect them, protect the final consumer. So what we ended up doing is we got into that market. So for everything we do, really, the majority of our labor is now subbed out. What we do a lot of is these subs that are working for us typically work primarily for us. So we know them, you know, we know their families. It's a very intimate relationship that we have with them, to where we have... It's not just hiring somebody off the street without vetting. We wouldn't send somebody like that into anybody's home, just because. So we have this different way of hiring that made a difference. And really we got lucky. And I don't necessarily know whether or not it's luck or what, but.
Well, right behind you, right? This is the harder you work, the luckier you get, right?
I guess that's what it is. We keep on getting labor coming in, and I'm very thankful for it. Like I said, this isn't really about anything else other than we keep working hard. We keep pounding the pavement constantly and people are coming in. Like, we have at least 2 to 3 labor guys that come in and, hey, look, you guys have any work? We do good work. We vet them on a smaller job and we kind of keep growing from there, and we get, we got pretty lucky. So we have, for the remodels, for the flooring jobs, for the roofing jobs, for the window covering jobs, all of these jobs, we do have, you know, subs that are specialized on these jobs to be able to do them.
No, like I said, I was assuming you guys went down that road, but just because it's hard, right? I mean, it's hard to employ that many guys that can be specialized in specific trades, whereas your alternative is hiring a guy that maybe can do everything, but then is he the best cabinet guy? Is he the best roofer? Is he the best window covering guy if he can do all those things, right? So I think if you, and it sounds like you've done it right. I mean, I think that relationship between, you know, a general and a sub is so much more important than the actual work being done, right? Making sure that there's clear communication and scheduling is tight and you know, everything stays on task and on time for the end user are all kind of keys.
Well, I think it's also about caring. I think we have, you know, when a sub doesn't care about where he works or the final consumer, it translates into their work. So, And it translates into their attitude. I mean, you'd see them being upset about stuff. They just don't care. They don't, you know, it doesn't matter to them. Whereas for us, we get, you know, these subs that are interested in doing a good job. They're interested in making sure the homeowner's happy, interested in making sure that we're happy. We also implemented or the relationship where the salesperson that sells that job is also managing that project. So from the beginning to the end, the final consumer gets to meet one person that they deal with throughout that whole interaction. And that makes it a lot easier for them to understand it. If anything changes, there's the one person that you spoke with at the very beginning is the same person you're talking to in the end. So it's the rapport is built. So we don't have to introduce 2 to 3 more people to make it even harder. It's just like, that's the person that you talk to and that person is going to help you. And that person also has a relationship with the laborer. So if there's favors that need to be done, they know how to ask for them and we know how to get them, you know? So these are things that are pretty important. And I think that that's where we excel is because the laborer cares about us and we care about the laborer.
No, that's, like I said, more important than the work actually being done, I think is the actual relationship between, you know, the general and the sub, just because that will translate into the end product more than anything is how that relationship is, you know, how it is between the two of you guys, but also how much they, like you said, care about what your culture and your expectations are to the end user, because at the end of the day, they're buying from you and they don't really care who installs it, right? Your name is the one that they called. And so those people need to represent you and obviously have an understanding of what your expectations are as well.
And that makes a difference. So for us right now, it's been working out. We're excited about it.
That's good. So sounds like what, 3 or 4 different locations now, showrooms?
Five. Going five. Up right now. Five. Yeah. Five locations. We're looking at into a 6th location. I'm hoping that by the end of the year, we'll have 7 in total. That's the plan so far.
Yeah.
Well, 7.
All in California, or do you look to go Nevada, Arizona, expand a little bit?
You know, it's one task, one challenge at a time, I'd say. But I think eventually, you know, it goes back into that whole thing of like finding myself or finding my brain thinking what's going on in Arizona, what's going on in Nevada, you know, like all of these thoughts come to mind. I've thought about it before, obviously, but it's just really, I need to compute that. I need to allow my mind to go that far. But yes, eventually I'm pretty sure that might be the plan. Yes.
That's awesome. So curious, just kind of get into your mindset a little bit, right? I mean, you've got, let's go back a few years, right? You've got a couple of locations, you're pretty successful, things are going well, you've got a lot of business, you're staying busy. What is the reason for continuing to open new stores, right? I can't imagine it's just because, you know, you need the money, right? Or need the success. I mean, that's probably not, but what I just kind of curious, what is the mindset or what goes through your mind when you think, man, I really need to open another store? What does that thought process look like?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll try to shorten it this as much as I can. I think that this whole concept started, I didn't realize it then, but started back when I was a kid. My mom, my dad, primarily sold back in Brazil. That's sales for them was it. And my mom kept on saying, when I think it was 6 years old, she kept on saying, you know, sales is important. Sales is like, if you're not a salesperson, you really can't succeed in life. She kept on talking about it. In my mind, I'm like, I hate sales. I don't want to talk about sales. I don't want to hear about sales. This isn't what, and back then it was door to door. So I sold books. I sold magazines. I sold, fruit, food. It doesn't matter. I did all of that. And I hated it back then in Brazil. Both my parents embedded that into my mind where it's like, okay, you have to understand that, you know, if you're not selling, you're not making a living. Right. Regardless of what you do, that's the way it goes. So I understood that in a different light then. For me, it was more so of making a living, and I hated it. So then I came here to this country and then I, you know, working so on and so forth. When I got with my wife and a lot of things changed around, She definitely finds a way to challenge my mind a little bit. where it's an interesting thing, but it's more so when there's really not an excuse. Does that make sense? She's like, either you do it or you do it. Like, why right. are we talking about this? As if there's an alternative. Like, either you get it or you get it. It's like, what are we talking about? So that, and that plays out in different things. Like my upbringing was very, Brazilians tended to be in the middle a lot. Like if you were to ask, are you hungry? We would say, yeah, I guess I can eat, but I don't know. Maybe we don't have to, like, and there's not a clear answer. Right. And for her, it's like, either you are or you're not. That's it. We don't have to talk about this. Like,
is she not Brazilian? No. Or is she just of a different mindset?
She's Portuguese.
Okay.
So they didn't mind you. They colonized us. So it's like, it's it goes back. This is pretty lengthy.
but these are things beyond your control.
Yes. I can't control that. But what that did for me is that showed me that it's, I can't be in a position where I'm constantly just in the middle, like wish-washy. I have to take a stand and I have to do what I need to do. So that paired up with sales, if you're not selling, you're really not making a living, and having this firm stance on things. Once I realized that about myself, and I realized about what my wife brought to the table when we got together, then I realized, okay, am I really going to be doing this for the sake of just working for the rest of my life? Or am I going to then create opportunities for myself, my family, my business, the people that are working here, so they also have a chance, right? And also, there are other workplaces that people could be at where they get mistreated, they don't have an opportunity to grow, they keep on stuck at the same job, doing the same thing for 10 plus years, there's no technology, there's no innovation, there's no nothing. So once I sat down and I realized that, you know, and I think it was probably after like the third store, I ended up reading a book from this guy, Grant Cardone, and he talks about a 10X mentality. And this is just like, if you want to grow, whatever your goal is, you got a 10X that, so you can achieve that goal and more. But then your question is it really the money? What is it? And in my mind, the truth of it is, it's potential. So now I have this, I picked a fight with my potential, and it's a big fight. It's a problem, so to speak, because the thing is this, I can handle a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff, and my potential is a lot greater than what I think. So I want to see how far I can take this. Obviously I cannot do it alone. So what was embedded in me from my parents, what my wife helps me with and brings into the table, allows this thing to happen. But then with the people that I'm around here at work and people that are wanting us to help and build, they're the ones maintaining as I keep kinda reaching for these heights of craziness.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a potential fight. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's not money. It's potential. It's how far can we take this? How big can we build this and build it right? And how much can we help? How many people can we help during this process? Yeah. You know, grow, like put them in this workforce where they feel like they can go somewhere. And that's where it's
at. And I love that, right? Because you're setting a stage and you're setting a scene for those people that are coming in. Even if they don't know who you are when they come in, which I would have to imagine is hard to imagine if they're, you know, aware of this industry at all, right? But you're bringing people on, and if they've seen what you've done and they hear about what you're going to do, they know that there's a path for success, right? That they know that there's a path for their future. They're not stuck at some flooring company that has one store where they start as a receptionist and they might get up to a salesperson and that's about it, right? If all goes well, like you said, in 8, 10, 12 years, because who's going to move? Who's going to, you know, people got to, you know, die or get fired for you to yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I mean? For you to succeed, there's no other opportunity other than those two avenues, which is a scary place to be, right? So from a future aspect. So I love that that's your mindset, but I guess my question would be then, where's the, where does the struggle come in with that mindset, that fight with potential that you've picked, versus every time I open up a store, there's 10, 12, 15 different people now that are relying on me to bring a paycheck home to, you know, feed their families and provide for their families. What if it doesn't work? What if this is one too many, and now we fall short? Is that a struggle that you face or that you look at?
I'll tell you what. Right now I have blinders on like a horse, and I stay within my lane of wanting to just to push. So what happens is, as people come work for this business, it's interesting because I'm not interacting as much with employees as I was before. Right. Sometimes I will meet people that were hired, you know, 2 to 3 weeks later, and you know, I'm paying them, right, and I haven't met them,
signing, right, their paychecks. Yep.
Yeah. But I haven't met them. So right now what it is this, it's not so much of me struggling or me thinking about how am I going to pay them? It's more so on how am I going to push these? What am I going to do to push them? And the push is for them to be better, for them to grow, for them, right, both professionally, both mentally, both, you know, as an individual,
financially,
and you got to figure, I'm 35 years old. So sometimes I'm dealing with a 45 year old, a 50, 60 year old, you know, 70 or so. For me, it's not so much how much I can teach them. It's more so on how much can I push you and see where you can go. Because I am now looking into how I look at myself. If I pick the fight with my potential, I'm surely going to pick a fight with your potential. And then we're going to see all these guilts. It's really not about how am I going to pay you. It's how you're going to pay yourself.
Yeah.
Because I will push you to as far as I can push you. And if for you that's too much, I understand. And that's okay. We don't have to keep working together, but you will definitely have this push to be able to go somewhere. Because I truly believe that people, and I have examples, you know, here day in, day out, people do not push themselves because it's
uncomfortable.
It's hard. It's hard, man. It's not simple. This isn't simple.
Right.
You know, I mean, no, nobody gets to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, how you doing? No, but I'm awake and I'm answering calls and I'm on social media responding to emails and doing stuff because my mind keeps running. I don't want that for anybody, but that's just who I am.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Right.
My potential puts me there. This fight, this push. Where am I going to open up a store next? What am I going to do? I'm looking for partnerships with people. How can I get that? Who's got the way so we can be here in 5 years a lot faster? Nobody's thinking about that, you know, and I have to. So if I am thinking about it and you get to meet me and we're interacting, you best believe I'm going to push you. So if I open up a place and somebody's working there, trust me, the push is going to happen.
I love that.
If they don't pay themselves, then I'm not doing my job to push.
Yeah. Why do I need to pay them if they're not going to pay themselves? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, I love that's that. Right. So, I mean, if, so then the question is where does it end? Where, I mean, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't, right? Like in theory, if that's the mindset and you can get people to buy into that, there is no end in sight. Right. Nope. I mean, as long as you get the people on board.
But I'll tell you this, isn't life a lot more fun when the sky is the limit? Because I used to have a lot of ceiling. When I worked at Apple, they put up a ceiling that's so short over you that you feel, you know, like you're trapped and you feel like you're trying to get away and you're trying to find ways of going around, but you're constantly trapped. You can't go anywhere. Can't move. You just can't. And so I did not want that for anybody here, but at the same time, I'm just thinking, okay, how can I do this? Like, what can I do to be able to change that mindset or change this? So when I realized all of what we just talked about myself, I said, pushing people's potential is it. I got an example. I had a guy that joined us in 2019. He was used to selling about 40 to 60,000. That was it per month. That was all he did. He, you know, he was comfortable. That was just all he did. And he came here, and back then I had a minimum of $75,000 a month. That's just what you got to sell. You can't sell any less than that. For him, he was like, whoa, this is crazy. 75. I do 40, 60 is a big, big month for me. And I said, well, we're going to have to break that. And we struggled for probably about 4 months, but then he hit 70, then he hit 75, then he hit 80, then he hit 100, then he hit 120, then 180, then 200, then 220. And then I'm asking him, and I'm thinking, so can you think of going back to selling 40, 60? Like, what would life be like,
right,
if you were to sell that for the rest of your life? And it goes like, you're right. I can't imagine. But that's growth, both financial and as an individual.
Yep.
Right? For him, he got to see that he has potential to sell 200,000. Had another guy, an animal, the guy sells like crazy. He comes in and he typically sold about $200,000 a month. That's a lot. But then he gets in here, he's selling 325,000. It's like, whoa, for him, it's like, well, life just changed for you right now. I have a designer that comes in, $416,000 in a month she sold. Now she's fighting against her potential. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And she set the goal that she shouldn't have set for herself, but she did. I'm glad she did, because if she ever comes back to me and says, oh, I can't do it, it's too much. Well, let's just look back and see what you did. Because it wasn't me, it was you. You did this. I'm pretty sure you can. And I know for a fact you can, because you did it. I want you to do it again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's really not about how am I going to pay these people, and where the struggle that comes to my mind when open up a new store is, how can I push them? What do I need to do to get them fired up, going, the energy? I mean, these people have to have goosebumps when they're talking to me. If they don't have it, I fail. And that's my thing. When I'm talking to people, I get so passionate that sometimes I say the wrong words, but I don't care. I'm just saying good. What I need to say.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm done. Does that make sense? And they benefit. Everybody benefits.
Yeah. Well, that's the end result, right? If somebody's actually bought in, they know that in the end, everyone wins, like you said, right? So there's buy in or don't buy in, but you know, the paths are pretty clear. You buy in, you win. You don't, we don't need you, right? That kind of.
And really, Mike, this is the thing. It's not simple. It's not easy. It's really not easy. It's frustrating at times, right? It's very difficult at times. Okay. But I'll tell you that once you go through that hump, if you allow yourself to go through that hump, that push, that drive that you need to have to go through that hump, once you go over it, any other hump that you face is going to be a hell of a lot easier, because you don't have to think of whether or not you have it in you to do it. You just do it, right? Because it comes out, the beast comes out. Whereas before, mommy and daddy said, it's okay, don't do it, it's okay, no, you know, we'll hold you, blah, blah, blah. No, man, no. No, there's no mommy and daddy. It's time to go. Time to be an adult, time to push yourself. And look, if this doesn't work, if me pushing you isn't what you need, that's completely fine. You can go back to doing whatever it is that you need to do. Maybe you hit your ceiling on a potential level. I know I got a hell of a lot more to go, and I got a lot more to push and go for. I'll tell you my final goal. You asked the question, when does it end? It ends here. When I have enough freedom for myself and my family. Okay.
Generationally. Myself and my family. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to be able to have myself and my family have enough freedom so we don't have to worry about things. And I want to be able to have to make sure that my parents, everybody that I interact with have the same amount of freedom.
Yep.
That's what I want.
Yep.
Regardless of what they see for themselves in this, to me, that's what it ends. So is it 20 stores? That was my primary goal, and it still is until today. But as I hit that goal, 20 stores isn't going to be enough. Are you greedy? I don't think I'm greedy. I think it's more so on how many more people can I help?
Yeah.
What's my potential for me? If it's going to be 100 stores, so be it. If it's going to be 1,000, that's fine too. I'll take it.
Yep.
Right. Whatever it is that we need to do to be able to get to a level where I see, okay, Clayton, you need to slow down. Your back hurts. Your knees are shaking. Like, you got something's going on here. That's That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking
for. I love it, man. No, it's awesome. So when does the Clayton Rodriguez School of Sales open up? When do you, do I need to talk to your wife and help push you into that?
So my wife is a mental health therapist and she sees things from a completely different perspective than I am. We often joke that I will drive people insane if she gets to cure them, to heal them so they can pull it back in. But, we do have a Zotex Academy that we're building right now for sales and product knowledge. And we're spreading this out to our employees so they can kind of learn through the process of, it's short snackable videos that they get to see, like 5-minute videos. And I think we've got probably about 75 to almost 100 videos in there. Oh, wow. That we'll just kind of go to, and they, you know, if you're driving to an estimate, you got a question on how does this work? You just, you know, go into the library and just, oh, that video, that's what I wanted. And you get to hear that. We're going to start doing a little, at some point, very into the motivation aspect of things, because sales really is motivation driven, really. So like, if you're not motivated yourself, it's going to be hard. And a lot of guys struggle with it because they haven't really had anybody push them like this hard before. So for them, it's hard to comprehend, like, where is it coming from? Yep. What's going on? And I do realize that my upbringing, my background has had a lot to do with it. But I also don't find it as an excuse for anybody to say, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't project what you've been through it on me. That's really not what it comes down to. It comes down to how much do you really want to grow? Right. Because if you don't, then don't beat you. Right. It's fine. We're going to be okay.
All your background did was open your eyes to what you want to be and what you can be, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only reason why you are the way you are, right? All it did was open your eyes and help you realize that this is the path you want to be on. And this is, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think projecting that on and articulating that can only help people, right? Find something inside them that they can relate to on that same level that will help put them and open their eyes and get them on the right path for sure.
And the thing about it too is this, you gotta understand, people will learn from life lessons completely different than others. You know, somebody would have been in the same situation that I was in before and they would have got a completely different path. At the end of the day, to me, this is what drives me the most. Life is not fair. Life is not fair, period. People have to understand, people were born with disabilities. People were born with different ways of learning. People were born with, you know, in a place where they can't, you know, grow or get better. Life is just not fair, but it's what you make of life that makes it fair for yourself. You got to be able to want to change. If you don't, you're going to be stuck at wherever you are that you don't like, you know? So like, I keep looking back and I'm like, man, some of the stuff that I personally been through and some of the stuff that my parents been through and how much they pushed me, my wife, my kids right now, you know, I've got a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. These guys are teaching me lessons on a regular daily basis. And life is not fair. I have to change it and make the best for myself. Yeah. Why can't I push you to make the best for you? You know what I mean? Like, you can't really complain to me that you're not doing well because of X, Y, and Z. Cut X, Y, and Z. Go into whatever is better for you, right? Like, just, or listen to whatever I had to say. Maybe there's some crazy that's going to come out and you get to listen and something good happens. I don't know.
That's what I was going to say, man. Why I was asking about the school of sales, right? Not necessarily your products and your, you know, what you guys do specifically, but more of that motivation, like you said, that push, that motivation, right? I'm part of I moved agencies now, right? We've got 120 plus people that sell insurance here. And I mean, that's the daily struggle, right? The grind, it's such a negative aspect and it's such a negative industry. People are always telling you no, like no matter what you're doing in most cases, right? Unless you're, you know, selling something that somebody literally cannot have without in that moment. But in most cases, it's a lot of no's and it can be deflating at times, but that inner push is the only thing that's going to keep you going and keep you successful. I mean, you find a way, you need to have some motivational videos or some motivational seminars, man. We could get you some auditoriums filled up pretty quickly. Cause what you got is gold, man.
No, that'd be awesome. I'll, I'm down for that. It's funny because today even it was a day where I didn't sleep very well because my little one just going through it, you know, 6 month old is learning how to do all this stuff. So if you don't sleep, you don't rest. And if you don't rest, you kind of, your outlook in your day is completely different. But then I get in the car and I'm thinking, how can I do better? How can I change my own day mentally here so all these people can see something right coming out of me? And I go through a mentorship program with Grant Cardone, and you know, he really talks about how to be happy all the time, so to speak. And really what it comes down to is that it's a mindset that you have to allow yourself to change into. Yeah. Again, life isn't fair. So what are you going to do about it? Crying? Go back to mommy and daddy and say, it's, you know, to hold me and tuck me in. You don't have the option anymore. That's done. You got to move on. And when people allow themselves to change their mindset, things change. For me, it changed when I allowed that to happen. Yep. I saw the potential. I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is, but there's this thing that just does not stop, man. It's I can't explain it, but I will tell you this. When you find a little bug, when you get it, man, you best channel it right. Because it's able to take you some place. You tell me 5 years ago that this will be doing today, I would have not believed. Yep. No, 7 years ago, I would have not believed.
It sounds like madness, right? You would just say, hey, you're 30 years old, open your own flooring company. In 5 years, I want you to have, you know, 7 stores. You'd have been like, F you. No way. I'm out. Right. But yeah, it's
That's right. But you've definitely
found it. And I think it's awesome. Before, I don't think we talked about on the first episode, but before we let you go, I want to the name or the impetus behind the name, because it's a little bit different. It's a little bit out there, right? I mean, a lot of guys get started in this and they just go, oh, Rodriguez Flooring, or, you know, CR Flooring. But how did you come up with your name, and what's the story behind that?
This was an interesting thing. The scenario is this. It's me and my wife. She wasn't my wife back then, but it's me and my wife, and we're sitting in our living room, and it's a 725 square foot apartment that we're living in at the time. I built this business out of a 725 square foot apartment, one bedroom apartment. And we're sitting there, we're talking, and the CSOB, the Contractors License Board, is asking for a name. Like, you got to have a name. And I thought exactly what you just said, Rodriguez Flooring. See, I'm like, I can't do this. Why can't I do this? Why? Because it's not marketable. I don't want people to relate to me when it comes into this business. I want people to relate to the business. If I ever want to sell it, I want it to be gone. I don't want to be Rodriguez Flooring is now this because it's not a marketable name. So Captain went back and forth, and we found this name. The goal really was start with an A, end with an X, or a Z, and end with an X. That's just what it was. Why? Because it stays on people's mind. It, at first, it was supposed to be Apex, and that didn't work out because there's a ton of Apexes out there. Yep. Well, we found Zotex, and that's what it became. Now, for the longest time, the meaning to me was art, and I really had this thing in my mind that it meant art, because it was the art of flooring for the longest time. Then after that, I just realized that, yes, it still means art to me, but this is more so a name that I want to be unique for people. If people think Zotex, and this is in the entire world, right? If they think Zotex, I want them to think of home improvement. I want them to think of motivation. I want them to think of push. I want them to think of drive. You know, if you're working here, I want you to think of push, drive. Want, you know, you can get it. You have to want it. If you're buying from us, I want you to think, you know, art, that's what we're trying to do. And look, we struggle sometimes. Sometimes we don't do the best job. And when we were going to go back and figure it out, we're going to fix it, whatever we need to do, but we're going to do it, right? So this effort, this push, this drive is what I'm looking for with the name. I need it to mean more than just a general contractor. Right. I need it to mean something that takes people to the next level. Mentally, individually, financially, as a consumer, you get the quality, you get the referral, you get all of the above. That's what I want.
And choosing something unique that doesn't relate to anything else kind of helps you kind of stick out a little bit. Yeah, no, I love that.
Yes. Nobody has him. I mean, look, just, even looking at nobody's guy. That's it. We're it. I'm pretty proud about that.
No, that's awesome. I love that.
There's a lot of Claytons out there. A lot of Rodriguez out there, but there's only one Zotex.
No, that's so cool, man. It's so awesome. Yeah. Well, Clayton, this has been awesome. I feel like this hour is flown by, but before we let you go, we want to let you, you know, give you shout outs, let people know where to find you, how they can get a hold of you and reach out. Cause I feel like this one's going to be pretty popular and you're going to ask people when you call.
Yeah. So, you know, you can find us at Zotex.com. That's Zotex.com. That's our website. We're changing websites now to encompass all that we do. So a new page, I think it'll be here by next week. So that's going to be pretty, I'm excited about that. We are in Sacramento. We are in Rosewood, Rockland, Elk Grove, Vacaville, Rancho Murrieta. And we're opening up our design center in Rockland, and we're opening up hopefully something coming up within the Folsom Rancho Cordova area as well. So if you're in the Sacramento region and you need to have some service done, be happy to help you. One thing also I didn't mention is this. We have a couple of divisions. We've got a commercial division that does, you know, the home improvement, does tenant improvements, so TIs in commercial places. We do hotels, restaurants, multifamily, new builds, track homes, all of the above. We also have a multifamily division that does apartment buildings. So existing apartment buildings that are looking to change their flooring on an ongoing basis, changing their cabinets, countertops on an ongoing basis. We do all of that too. So we have those two divisions that are handling all of that. And we're introducing another division, which is our construction management division, that will be managing construction as well. So these are going to be some of the things that are going to just really
take it over the industry, man. I love it.
There's only one way to grow, man. It's going up. And if you don't do it, it doesn't work. So these divisions are going to layer us up. So when things kind of get shaky,
I was going to say no better time than now, right? I mean, things are kind of getting a little sideways right now. And I think if you're stuck in one aspect, you might do okay, but you may get hung out to dry also.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of those different revenue streams.
Yeah. I'm terrified of that. So the multiple streams of income have to be there. And that's one thing that I learned. That's one thing that I really push for. That's for sure.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Clayton, again, man, this has been great. I appreciate it. Well, I want to do this again in a couple of years if I'm still doing this thing and still around and still relevant. Because, I'm hoping that that growth. I'm not hoping. I know that the growth is going to be insane. It's going to be another fun couple of years. But
yes, it will.
It's been awesome, Clayton. I appreciate it. Stay safe out there and keep in touch. And look forward to seeing what Zotex does in the future, man.
For sure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Appreciate it. Thanks, brother. Have a good one.
You too.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you had a good time, be sure to hit that subscribe button to get all the latest episodes. And if you had a really good time, leave a review to let us know what you thought. Until then, go gather some crazy stories on your job sites, and we'll see you next time on So, You Want to Be a Contractor.